The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? It is time for a new season of San Jose Sharks hockey. I know you're stoked. I know I'm stoked. I know everyone is waiting for this to get going, and that's for a good reason. The excitement levels are building. We saw a lot with San Jose last year that we hope they can build upon. I don't think any of us are thinking Cup right now, but we are thinking for improvement, and based on some of the acquisitions in the offseason, based on some of the growth we've seen, we are all expecting growth. So hopefully that journey starts tonight. But before we get into the interview we did with Dan Duva, the radio play-by-play voice for the Vegas Golden Knights, to discuss everything the Sharks are going to be going up against tonight in the Vegas Golden Knights in their first game of the year, we are going to tell you everything that's going on today in terms of the Sharks audio network. Now, this obviously is going to be streaming on our live stream coming up at 3:10 today. If you download it before then, good for you. Now, at 3 o'clock today, it is going to be Dan Ruzanowski Teal Report, followed by this, the buildup. 4:45, you can hear Dan's Teal Report again, and then this buildup will play. 5:30, Teal Report, and then the buildup. But at 1:25, you will be able to hear Dan's Morning Skate to hear all the news that comes out of that. Then, later on this evening at 6 o'clock, myself, Brody Brazil, we're doing a live stream from the South Bar at SAP Center. We're going to play some interviews. We're going to talk about some topics that are happening with the San Jose Sharks. That will go from 6 to 6:30. Then at 6:30 to 7, that's going to be Dan Ruzanowski's pregame coverage. Drew Remenda is joining him on the call tonight. Then coming up at 7 o'clock, that's go time. The San Jose Sharks playing host to the Vegas Golden Knights in game number one of the season. Everyone is very, very excited. Everyone is waiting for this team to get going, to see everything we've been waiting for throughout the entirety of this year. And I think that's what we're most excited about, just to get our first glimpses. We saw so much last year in terms of growth from William Eklund, from Will Smith, from Macklin Celebrini, from Mario Ferraro, from, you know, Askarov. We go down the list, all these names that we're talking about for the San Jose Sharks in terms of what the future could hold. Last year was just kind of a glimpse. Now we're going to get much more of a view. You know, we're expecting to see a lot this year from Sam Dickinson and Michael Mesa, or at least that's what I'm hoping to see. We're expecting to see a lot from the young players, whether it's a Colin Graf, whether it's eventually an Ethan Cardwell, whether it's eventually Luca Caglioni, whether we're going to see it from Quentin Musty. I mean, these are all the things that we've been wondering about all year long since we got to the end of the season, and now we get to see a little bit of a taste of that reality. Now, are we going to have the answers after game number one? God, no. We're not going to know anything, but we will have new talking points. We will have new views. We will have new things to look at. Everything that we've been waiting since April 16th when the season ended in a loss to Edmonton, when we saw them finish the year on a double-digit losing streak. We want to see this team take a step. We know, at least I assume, it's not going to be in the Stanley Cup final this year, but I do expect them to take a step forward. I do expect them to be a better team. I do expect them to be capable of winning those games in the critical moments that so many got away from them last year. And if they do that, that will put them on a path towards success for the near future, which will hopefully put them on a path towards contention, and so on and so forth. It's never an easy path. There is no clear-cut process in terms of a rebuild to how to get your team to go from being on the cusp to being in contention to being a true favorite. You know, if there was a clear-cut path, everyone would do it. But for the San Jose Sharks, the steps they've taken up to this point, I think we all agree we have very good reason to be excited. So now let's get into what I think is going to be a very fun look at what we saw this offseason and what we can expect this upcoming season from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is also part of our Pacific Division preview. If you want to listen to that, you can hear previews from the broadcasters of all the respective teams in the Pacific to hear what they have to say about their teams. But now we bring in the radio play-by-play voice of the Vegas Golden Knights, Dan Duva. Dan, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Hi, Ted. Just enjoying the exhibition slate. There's always some interesting stories as the regular season draws near. Always excited to talk hockey.
Well, I figured we would start with a really low level, very obscure topic. And I think Vegas may have signed a high profile free agent in the offseason. Can you confirm or deny that?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. Oh, you mean that guy who used to play for the Maple Leafs? Oh,
Yes, yeah, that's do you know his name?
yep. Mitch, I think it's pronounced Marner.
Yeah, that's the one.
and he's wearing number 93 with the Vegas Golden Knights, which is a throwback in a couple of ways. That was his junior number, and in junior he played for the London Knights. So, and now with the Golden Knights, he's sporting number 93 again. Pavel Dorofeev has number 16, so that was unavailable. But I can't escape the possibility that it's another indicator of Marner turning the page and kind of moving from one chapter of his hockey life to the next. And no doubt one of the best players in Maple Leafs history in so many statistical categories. But, the big prize was elusive. They never got out of the second round when he was there with that group. Of course, the Golden Knights have been to the Final four times, Stanley Cup champions. And I think that that allure of joining a successful franchise going into its ninth season was just more than could be resisted by Marner, and you could go down the list of that. So it's exciting, and boy, you could see just the little plays, not just the points, just the little back checks, defensive plays in front of Adin Hill during an overtime against Utah, preventing scoring chances. Just a really smart player, and exciting to see what he'll look like in a regular season Golden Knights game.
I don't know if he's specifically been asked about it, but maybe, you've kind of gotten the vibe from him of moving from a market like Toronto. And, for all the guys that play in the Canadian markets, but especially Vancouver and Toronto and Montreal, it's crazy. And it is, it makes the NFL look calm by comparison. And Vegas has a rabid fan base of their own, but there's less impatience built in. And I'm curious, do you think he's able to relax now a little bit more?
Yeah, he's a new dad. Just became a dad in the spring. I think that changes perspective. The lifestyle here is a bit different. Wherever he's living, it can't be more than 5 or 10 minutes away from the practice rink. There's no Toronto traffic to deal with. Even getting to T-Mobile Arena for games, for most folks, it's just a 20-minute drive. And if there's a little bit of traffic, maybe it's 25 or 30 minutes, right? So it's totally different than trying to get to a game in downtown Toronto. And those little things, and I remember Riley Smith talking about it last year when he was reacquired by the Golden Knights. He had spent time with the New York Rangers, so he was living in Westchester near the Rangers practice facility. And you have to allot a certain amount of time for commuting. It's just like anybody else going to a regular job in big markets like Toronto and New York. It's a way of life. And in Las Vegas, it's just set up differently. So, I mean, anecdotally, he seems to be smiling a heck of a lot more than he did on a regular basis in Toronto. Not that I was in Toronto other than when the Knights were visiting. And I think that, it's a breath of fresh air. You sort of escape the drumbeat. And it's not to say that he doesn't want to be held accountable. Of course, he does. Remember Jack Eichel talking about that, wanting to be held accountable leaving Buffalo. He didn't want to escape that pressure. It was just a different mindset here. And so I think that Marner still wants to be held accountable. I don't think he's trying to duck the hard questions, but I think that the drumbeat is just a little bit different. It's not just the same hit yourself over the head every day. All of the media descends upon all of the top players in Toronto, and there's so many of them. So, there will be questions here. There will be ups and downs, but I think that there's just such a different lifestyle here that some people embrace. Some people don't know what exists until they get a taste of it. They've maybe heard about it from other guys in the NHL. And so far, it seems like Marner, and again, as a new dad, has begun to embrace it.
How have Eichel and Stone reacted to yet another huge star coming to their team?
Yeah, all those teams, right? From Ottawa, Mark Stone, from Buffalo, Jack Eichel, and now from Toronto, Mitch Marner. Don't forget, I mean, Max Pacioretty had come from, the Canadians. You could go down the list of, it seems to me that, I'll give you this, Eichel has been playing on a line with Marner and Barbashev in most of the practices and in one of the preseason games. In the most recent preseason game, Eichel didn't play, so obviously was not on a line with Marner. But what Bruce Cassidy talked about with respect to those guys, Marner's more of a talker, communicator on the bench. Jack Eichel tends to go to the iPad. He wants to see visually what happened on the last shift. And Ivan Barbashev, though a really, you know, easygoing, nice person, isn't a loud guy. So Bruce Cassidy is sort of evaluating those dynamics, and those three will have to figure it out. And I'm interested to see how that will unfold. Clearly, Eichel and Marner have a great appreciation for one another, and, you know, both are first-round draft picks, the same draft. Both were the top five. Don't forget that, you know, Connor McDavid might have been number one, but Vegas now has three of the top five picks in that draft. Throw in Noah Hanifin, which is just wild, just wild. And then, you know, Mark Stone is, you know, he's playing with William Karlsson and Riley Smith, and talk about hockey IQ on that line, my goodness. And, you know, Mark Stone wasn't here from the very beginning like Karlsson and Smith, but he arrived early in season number two. And so he has, he might have been the first big acquisition by this organization of, you know, for the long term. And he has sort of adopted, you know, that leadership mentality, of course, became the first team captain, but sort of, you know, setting the tone for welcoming a new player in. And as the captain, he's not overzealous. He's not in everybody's face. He's more of, you know, lead by example, though I'm not sure anybody has that expressive face to celebrate a goal like Mark Stone. He celebrates more for his teammates' success than his own. So he's excited, of course. I think that Eichel and Stone, two faces of the franchise, are more than happy to share some of the spotlight with Mitch Marner.
The last 2 years, we've seen very, very good Golden Knights teams fall to a very good Dallas team. And last year, obviously, an Edmonton team that ended up once again in the Cup final. I know it's not the end of the window by any means right now, but it's not like Stone is getting any younger. Does that mean it is a Cup or bust mentality?
I think this organization expects to contend for the Stanley Cup every year. You know, there's so many variables once you get far enough in the playoffs. I think managers, including George McPhee, Kelly McCrimmon here, have a thought that while winning the Stanley Cup is the goal, getting to the Final Four is sort of a, okay, we kind of did what we could. Once you get to that point, your Final Four in the NHL, you know, injuries or bounce of the puck or, you know, some hot goalie, you know, those things that, you know, you just can't predict or plan for those types of things. But as you said, the Knights have not gotten to the Final Four the last 2 years, having won the Stanley Cup in 23, first round exit with Dallas, second round exit against Edmonton. And clearly both of those teams, Dallas and Edmonton, were terrific. The series indicative of that you might see in the conference final, not the first or second round. But that's wonderful. I love that for the sport, that the early round series can be that intense. There should be no cakewalks in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I love the format the way it is. So with respect to your question about Cup or bust, I'm not sure that's the mindset. Naturally, you never know when, you know, things change with an organization. Who knew that Alex Pietrangelo was going to, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say that his career's over. He has not said that, but he's not expected to play this year. He would have one more year on the contract the year after as he tries to get healthy again. But, you know, the Knights might not be with Alex Pietrangelo ever again. That's a possibility. And who could have planned for that? Like you said, you know, Stone creeping up there, Karlsson and Smith too. But they have found ways to replenish, and as you already talked about here, with acquiring Mitch Marner, Noah Hanifin, plus Jack Eichel, all those guys were drafted just 10 years ago. So and then building from within, you've got Pavel Dorofeev, who had a breakout year offensively last year. There is a sense of Caden Korzak coming up from the American Hockey League. He spent half the season in the Golden Knights lineup and was scratched for the other games. No AHL time. So, you know, they're trying to restock while be a contender and find the right pieces, whether it's internally or externally, trade, free agency, draft, whatever it might be. I don't think that they have a cup or bust mentality. They simply expect to contend every year.
What do you think of the Pacific and beyond that, the Sharks?
It is an interesting division because you have some teams that, like I just think of Vancouver. A couple years ago, my goodness, I mean, you know, best team of the division. And then, of course, last year, you know, major step back with, you know, some unrest and some personnel change. Do they bounce back? Like that's, I just have no way to get up. Obviously, do coaching, lots of change that. But there's so much talent there. I just have no idea to see the Canucks. They could be a contender again, or they could be outside the playoff picture entirely. Really don't know. You know, the Oilers, having been to the Cup Final a couple years in a row, and having seen them firsthand against the Golden Knights in the playoffs two of the last 3 years, that sort of speaks for itself. But, you know, with the salary cap being what it is, have they maintained their depth? Have they addressed, you know, the goaltending woes? I mean, they get to the finals 2 years in a row, but lose both times. You know, it's hard to imagine getting back. But when you've got the best player in the world on the roster, can't overlook them. You know, elsewhere, you know, there are teams that have been rebuilding. Of course, the Sharks, you know, the Ducks in that category as well. You know, kind of the rebuild has now shifted toward just the build. Where a lot of the younger pieces have now been acquired, and now it's not just kind of assembling a roster with potential. It's now starting to see that potential bear some fruit. So I'm not sure if the Sharks and or Ducks are going to be playoff teams, but they're going to be, from my point of view, clubs that are much more difficult to play against. They're no cakewalks. Now, of course, the Golden Knights have had terrific regular season success against the San Jose Sharks. I chalk that up to a fluke as much as anything. Some years the Sharks were better than the Knights, but Vegas still found a way to win. And then, of course, two great playoff series back in 2018 and 2019. Yeah. It's exciting to see the young players in those organizations. And because they're young, you don't know quite what they're the growth curve will be like. And when we first saw Kirill Kaprizov, it's like, oh, that's interesting. He could be somebody. And now look what he's become, and, you know, highest player with Minnesota Wild. So that's that. You know, I think Seattle is, I think they tried to sort of tread the line with what Vegas had done, this big expansion success, but also kind of plan for the future. And it's ended up kind of not working out. So I'm not sure that they're going to be really in contention for the division. And then Calgary, you know, they've had some changes there the last handful of years too. So I think that they have a chance to be in the playoff picture as well. It's an interesting division because you've got teams that have been in the they've been represented in the Stanley Cup Final 3 years in a row: Vegas, Edmonton. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, when you have the breakdown of three division teams plus the two wild card, you know, if in fact this could be one of the years where the Pacific Division is really in the mix. It's fun. It's I have a lot of question marks. I have probably more question marks this year than I have in recent years, whether it's teams who are stepping up or other teams that are stepping back. You know, the Golden Knights were very good last year, and they should be just as good, if not better. So it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of people are picking Vegas to be at the top of the Pacific Division. You know, if it's another battle for the Knights and Oilers for the Pacific Division Championship, that would be in the cards.
Dan, appreciate your time as always. I look forward to seeing you on the 9th of October. I know you've got your first game the night before, so have a great call with that. And I'll see you soon. All right, my friend?
Very good. Thanks a lot, Ted.
Again, that is Dan Duva, the radio play-by-play voice for the Vegas Golden Knights, joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network, where we will be covering it all year long. Every game day, you've got Morning Skate with Dan and Drew, Dan Ruzanowski's Teal Report. You've got the build-up with Ted Ramey. You've got live pregame coverage a half hour before every show. You've got Dan Ruzanowski's Instant Replay, a condensed version of cuts after the show. You've got the replay of the game all night long. Then the next morning, I bring you a half hour of Morning Tide, where we go over everything from the game, highlights, post-game commentary, interviews, and more. And tonight, remember, 6 o'clock pregame show from the South Bar at SAP Center. Brody and I will be broadcasting live from there. Then 6:30 pregame with Dan and Drew Remenda. Then 7 o'clock go time as the San Jose Sharks play host to the Vegas Golden Knights. All right, We're out of time, and I look forward to seeing you tonight and all season long at SAP Center and right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.
Back to Ferraro, left point, the Minnesota zone. Sends behind the goal line to a back skating Will Smith. Swept it off the board. There's Thompson stopping it, shooting it. Same main rebound. Score! Macklin Celebrini right in front of the net. Ties the game 2-2. And Macklin's lengthy goal is drowned.